Ballad of John and Yoko, of course, from the Beatles. And it is 6 minutes past one to three with Mike, my very special guest this afternoon. Mike Lesurf, welcome to the programme. Mike, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Mike. How are you?
Good, I'm fine. I've just realised, really, we haven't really seen each other or spoken together since May the 7th. We spoke a lot before May the 7th. Mm-hmm. I know that you were one of the hardest working PPCs I've ever come across. You really, really did try hard, didn't you? Right, we've had 3 months since then.
Yeah, 3 months today.
Is it 3 months? Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. Is it 3 months? Well, 4 months. Yeah. Looking back, did you do anything wrong? Was it your fault? Was it the party in general? Was it Miliband? What happened? What have you put it down to?
I think overall, it's clear that on the day that Labour had lost touch with a lot of our core vote and a lot of the electorate, so it just seemed it was quite a strange feeling, actually, because right up until the day we were. You know, it was all neck and neck in the polls, and we thought we were doing really well. And we did work hard. I don't think locally we could have done any more, really. It was, after work every night, it was weekends, we were campaigning. All the councillors and candidates were campaigning in South Basildon and East Thurrock. So I think it was, what's happening now, time to have a real good look at the party and see what we can do about getting back. We've lost a connection with the people, for sure.
So. Yeah, I mean, that has become obvious, hasn't it? And, I remember saying to you before, back in February, maybe that, was Miliband the right man to lead the party? You said, yes, he was. Mm. On reflection now, was he still, do you think, or did he get it badly wrong?
Well, policy-wise, I think we were spot on. I got into this game because I want to help people that are less fortunate than myself and a lot of my peers, and I thought we had policies to address a lot of the problems that people were facing, getting rid of the bedroom tax. But there is an argument that, we do need strong leadership, and obviously people were having problems with Ed Miliband and bacon sandwiches and things like that. So it's a shame, because to me it's not... Personality politics doesn't count for much.
I know you're absolutely right, but it did become that, certainly, didn't it? There was so much personal tax on Ed Miliband, as you say, the bacon sandwiches.
He had a girlfriend once, didn't he?
What did he put? The stone he put in some of that.
Well, that was an error.
that was definitely an error.
That was a strange thing to do. Let's put it like that. So, yeah, we did make some mistakes, but I think generally it was... people were just hunkering down, really. Times are tough and people were looking after themselves and their families and not particularly thinking about the bigger picture. It's just sort of making sure that people were right, and we weren't talking to a lot of people about their issues.
Do you think there was almost a slight attitude that you'd been in government, the Blair years, you'd had all that long period in power, then the Tories have come in, and you've had the coalition. You think, well, yeah, maybe we're now ready for another Labour government again. It's our turn almost, and you perhaps, you didn't listen properly.
No. And it was a big ask to win back after losing an election. It's a big ask to win it back, at the next one. That really does happen. But, I'm glad the leadership debate that's going on at the moment, I'm glad it's sort of blown everything out the water, and we have got to change. If we don't change, then, we're not going to be relevant to people. We've got to talk about what the Labour Party is all about and what it's for.
Two stats that have come out since the election, and it's true of both you and the Liberals, and Liberals even more than you, you've attracted a massive new membership. Oh. Now, why? I don't quite follow
it. I know, it's really frustrating in a way, because you want these people before the election, really, to get on board after. Yeah. But, I was reading today, it's the biggest surge in our membership in 64 years.
Something like 70,000 new members.
Yeah, 70,000 new members, plus we've got people that are joining up to support the party to vote in the leadership elections, affiliated people within the trade unions. But even in Brentwood, our membership's gone up about over 140 members. We're on 360 plus members now. We're the biggest party in Brentwood.
Okay, I want to come on to the leadership a little bit later on. You just mentioned the trade unions there. Do you think with the news yesterday, yet another tube strike, yesterday Essex firefighters were on strike again. Do you think that perhaps the majority of people who are eligible to vote want or support strike action these days, or do they think there must be another solution? We're fed up with the tube drivers striking. They're overpaid anyway,
You're working life underground for a start. That's got to be worth.
So do miners, though.
True, but they deserve it as well. I think people are split on it, aren't they? I mean, I work in London, and yesterday the journey into work was difficult. It wasn't underground, and I used the Liverpool Street line to Brentwood, but it was absolutely packed from Harold Wood. So it was really, it did have an impact, and there's just so many more people on the streets as well, obviously, and the buses are queuing for miles and things like that. But a lot of people I talk to at work are supportive. You only ever hear about unions when there's strike action, and
that is a very, very good point. Yeah. Another word we always hear is minimum wage, but we don't hear the word maximum wage.
That's it. I mean, strike action is a failure on both sides to come to an agreement, so that's the first point. Yeah. But people don't know so much about what unions do behind the scenes, supporting people in work, health and safety, workers' rights. Tube drivers get paid good money because it's a unionised industry, and they get looked after.
Because they've got
a union to do that.
Would you say they're the last of the big, powerful sort of 70s, 80s unions left, though?
How do you mean? Sorry.
Well, we had the print union, who were very strong. The car industry was very strong. The miners' union. All those unions have virtually gone. But now the transport union is the only one left with any power, shall we say?
The
fire brigade action has been pretty ineffective, really. They've managed to bring in. Yesterday the fire brigade were on strike in Essex only. The assistant chief officer said it was going to cost £40,000, and that's because they're paying other people to come in and do the firefighters' jobs who are on strike.
Yeah,
which is a madness in its own.
What do you want when your house is on fire and you want someone to come? What do you want? Trained firefighters and healthy and can come within minutes to. Or do you want the fire service to say, oh, there's a fire, quick, get in all the retained staff, where is everybody, quick, get them in, 10 minutes later, or you might have, a fire engine full it's crazy, we've got to look after people that look after us, and people in public service. I'm a member of Unison, public sector union. We've got to make sure that we look after people that, in hospitals and schools and people that are making sure that everyone's fit, well, healthy and can contribute, it's a valuable thing.
I honestly don't think that we're that far away from all three emergency services being combined, that you'll have a police, fire, ambulance station in the not-too-distant future, maybe 30 years' time, but as they do in Ireland, you've got fire and ambulance stations combined, the paramedics, same as in America.
Things are getting squeezed so much, aren't they? Councils are going to merge. It's obvious that the plan is to get rid of local council and local public service and just have a big overarching body that just looks after private sector contracts. That's what the Tories want. They don't believe in public service, but it's wrong,
And it's all about money, isn't it? I mean, if you look at, again, just going back to the fire brigade example, I know that in 1975 there were 925 firefighters and 50 admin staff. Now there's 500 and something firefighters, and there's 400 admin staff. That's almost one admin staff per firefighter, which is just preposterous.
Yeah, well, maybe, to look at structures in that way, but I was really, part of my campaign, I was so proud that I got the support of the Fire Brigade Union and the guys in Basildon. I stood out with them when they were out on strike, and they came and supported me. They made supported the campaign, even though they're not affiliated to the Labour Party. That meant a lot to me. Like I say, if you've got a fire, you want a swift, fit fire service to come and help.
Okay. Well, a big damaging part of your vote loss was done by UKIP.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to happen again? Do you think in 4 years' time is that UKIP vote going to be stronger, or is it going to just gently go away?
Well, I'm not sure, is the honest answer. Yeah. What I'm looking at particularly, and why we're trying to build a movement in South Essex with all the different Labour parties that make up the sort of Thames corridor, outside of the Thames from Barking and Dagenham, right across into Southend, so Thurrock and Basildon and Billericay. UKIP, obviously, well, it was the BNP, wasn't it, in Barking and Dagenham, that 10 years ago did really well.
Yeah.
Once Labour got their act together, they managed to, get rid of the BNP at the following sort of four-yearly election. It seems to be a wave that's sort of moving eastwards, and it's definitely strongest in Thurrock and Basildon at the moment. So is it heading that way, or is it actually petering out? I don't know. I think it was mainly a protest vote. A lot of people that voted UKIP don't agree with UKIP policies. So
or
there
even
is
understand UKIP policies.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Well, people lead very busy lives now. There's not many people that get a chance to sit down and look at all the parties and their leaders and see what, what's what before they make a decision. And, I mean, the media just was, was having a romance, weren't they, with Nigel Farage. It was just Farage everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's the dominant face you're seeing, and someone who is obviously charismatic and made the contact with people.
And we get matched personalities again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean,
good-looking guy, Nigel Farage, really, I suppose, and he's got a pint in his hand and, he appealed to the voter, really.
I know, but, I mean, that's the image, isn't it? But a millionaire, ex-Tory, MEP, stockbroker, it's hardly a man of the people, really, but that was the image that was portrayed. So, they did well, but... they lost an MP, didn't they? Got one MP for all that effort. It is something we've got to address, but I think we have to address it by reconnecting with people and making sure that people know who their councillors are and who their candidates are and what Labour are doing in the area. I think in Brentwood, we've never had a UKIP councillor or a county councillor. We managed to keep them at bay by all the parties, really, working hard. The majority of councillors work hard, whether you agree or disagree. And it seems to do the trick. So, they're stronger in different areas, aren't they? But I don't know if it's going away. I mean, probably over a year ago, we would have thought it was fizzling out a bit and they wouldn't be so strong this time. So,
the council elections were definitely a protest vote, weren't they, first time around? And, I can remember standing out there in the hall there, seeing UKIP councillors getting voted in and the shock on their face because they never in a million years thought they'd get in.
Mm.
It was, I'll put my name forward and I'll stand, but I had no idea what the comprehension of what they were letting themselves in for. And I'm in. Oh, dear.
Well, it's a ragbag of candidates who just, stood because they were asked to, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It soon falls apart when they actually get some responsibility. Mm. But there's, questions to be answered. There's not, you can't just dismiss them as, like Cameron said, a load of fruitcakes. They're obviously they're appealing to some people, but hopefully, it's not the way I want our country to go. It's a racist, exclusive, hate-driven ideology. And that, doesn't appeal to me at all.
Absolutely. You did badly on May the 7th, as I'm talking about generally across the country, but you didn't do as bad as the Liberals. Are you looking at them saying, where did they go wrong? Because, they were once a big, big party, and I'm sure they'll come back. As we said, a massive new influx of membership to them. But are you that far apart, really, policy-wise, you and the Liberals? Are you quite close?
Well, I think they lost it when they went into coalition. I think that was, it just 5 years went by and it was sort of obvious what was going to happen. And even in Labour in Brentwood came second in the general election, which is fabulous. It was hard work. Liam done really well, but it was a lot to do with the collapse of the Liberal vote. Mm. And it meant that, we could make ground on them. It was just, I think that's one thing you could predict on the day that they were going to have an absolute nightmare. Locally, Liberal councillors have done well. Are we close? On some things, we definitely are locally on some things. We worked well, as a alliance last year with some of the Liberal councillors. I just don't. Well, the main difference is I don't think Labour would ever go in coalition with the Tories and sort of sell their soul for a little bit of power. So I think they lost a little bit of their credibility, really. They're supposedly a party, of the left like we are, but I don't think they did themselves any favours, really.
We'll come on to whether you are a party of the left in just a moment. Just back in a moment after these.
Life begins at the...
Indeed. It is just coming up to 22 minutes past 1 o'clock. Mike LeSerf's here. Let's get on to the leadership of the Labour Party. We just remember there, where is the Labour Party these days? Is the left, the middle, the right? You've been accused of being too far to the middle. Some accuse you of going too far to the left. If you look at Blair, Blair was, fairly right and was very popular, the best Prime Minister you've had for since Wilson, really, most successful, but if best is the right word.
Most successful
is the word I'm looking for. But Michael Foot left, I forgot the other guy now. The other left wing got straight out of my head, but didn't do very well at all. Who's the other one?
What era?
Early '90s. No, he's gone.
Oh, Kinnock.
Yeah, Kinnock. So you've now got four candidates: Liz Kendall, sure. Yvette Cooper, Jeremy Corbyn, and Andy Burnham. Now, I'm actually a little bit surprised who you're backing, because I thought you'd go one way and not this way. But you're backing Andy Burnham, aren't you?
I am backing Andy Burnham. Was that an easy decision? It was pretty much. I mean, it was quite sort of early days when I decided. I just felt that Andy is someone who is going to do what we need, which is make that reconnection with people. Watching this performance at Hillsborough, you know, the issue around Hillsborough, but actually the initial time that he went to Hillsborough and got a really hard time off the fans because nothing was being done about the inquiry, and actually taking that away and saying, we've got to do something about this, and then being able to go back years later and with, you know, the inquiry and making sure that all the, you know, the truth came out. I think that was a lot to do with Andy, and I think he was really strong there. I just think he's someone that connects with people. He came over to Basildon at the start of his campaign. He launched his campaign in Basildon, and we went to Procat College and met some of the young the apprentices there that are doing their apprenticeships. And he's very keen. One of the main, you know, reasons why I'm really supporting him is he's very keen to make sure that vocational qualifications are seen on a par with academia and the academic. You know, making sure that people that want to train and work with their hands are going to get the breaks that people that want to go to uni have been getting. So things like that. Very strong educationally. Going to re-nationalise the railways as the contracts come up. So that's pretty lefty for me. That's lefty enough. That is lefty enough. You can't go too far. You can't go too far because you've got to take people with you, and that's the trick, isn't it?
Where would you seriously put him if you put the middle in the middle? Where would you put him, going left or right? Would you put him centre left?
Yeah,
centre left.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was. I mean, when I decided to support him, Jeremy Corbyn wasn't in the running. I mean, he declared quite late, didn't he? Just got on the ballot. And
I thought you might go for Jeremy Corbyn.
I've got definitely got a lot of respect for Jeremy Corbyn. He came over to Basildon while I was campaigning. He was the MP that spent the most time in Basildon. He was with us all afternoon and evening. We did a meeting in the evening with 15 people. I mean, our times have changed. He's filling up 1,000-seater auditoriums now. But, you know, there was a few members and a few people turned up to talk to him about issues. But he came and met some local residents who have got a local issue around one of the parks in Basildon. And he was great. He gave some great advice, and he's really a decent bloke. I'm a member of CND. Like I say, I want to see the railways nationalised. I've got a lot of, a lot of my views are coming out in his campaign. But if you want to put any of those into practice, you have got to win elections, and he's got to be a prime minister. If he's going to be leader that allows us to put those policies into practice, he's got to win.
See,
and I don't think that's going to happen. So
you don't think it's going to happen?
No, I think whether he wins the election, we'll see. It's more. I mean, I'm more concerned about if he doesn't win the leadership election. Labour must not just go, phew, that was close, back to business as usual. We have got to change, and Jeremy Corbyn's opened up the debate that we've got to have. So
that is a very, very good point, because senior members of the Labour Party are starting to panic that where he was an outsider, they're now thinking, hang on a minute, this because he is far left, is he going to come in and destroy those voters who are centre party, Labour Party? Is he going to do a lot of harm, or is he, what's already happening, he's getting a massive new membership coming in because of Jeremy Corbyn, isn't he?
Well, partly because, membership was on the way up. There has definitely been a surge. But I think that, you know, I think with the leader of the Labour Party has got to be, we've got to win in 2020, they've got to be Prime Minister. To do that, you've got to take the whole country along, not just a faction of the Labour Party. Now, it could be that that is the biggest part of the Labour Party and Jeremy Corbyn does win. That could happen. But it'll be difficult if he doesn't do it on the first round because of the preferential way the votes will be split. But we've got to win, and we've got to have someone who the country want to see as Prime Minister. So I don't think that's going to happen under Jeremy. And the thing is, as well, if he'd had roles on the front bench, you know, in government or in shadow, had been a team player, maybe, but he's always been a backbencher, and he's you know, he's got a role in the party, but it's not been as part of the team.
He reminds me a little bit of Andrew McKinney in some ways. Andrew, not to that left at all, but he was, you know, he was backbencher of the year. He was always, he didn't sit quietly. He always protested against Blair, etc. And Jeremy Corbyn does sort of remind me of that. We must take a break for some music. It's just come up to 1:30. A new thing I'm doing as well is asking my guests to choose two tunes. This is Mike's first choice.
That can make me break down and cry.
Friday afternoon with Mike. It's 1:23. It is actually 1:32 at the moment. My guest this afternoon is Mike Lasserre. We're talking all about May the 7th and the Labour Party, and of course the upcoming election for the leadership of the Labour Party and the deputy leadership. I think you vote on August the 12th, didn't you?
The ballots come out next Friday.
And then the results early September?
So. Yeah, there's going to be a special leadership conference on the 12th of September.
Okay, one thing I didn't quite understand. So if somebody's, let's just for example say Yvette Cooper, if Yvette Cooper is the runner-up in the leadership election, she doesn't automatically become the deputy leader.
No.
That's a completely separate, they can't be a deputy.
No, there's a separate deputy election going on simultaneously, which has been, that's opened up some sort of questions as well, because of not being at, you know, in America they have a ticket, don't they? They have president and vice ticket.
The whole thing horrifies me in America.
Yeah. But in a way, I mean, it's good because I'm supporting Andy Burnham and Caroline Flint for deputy, and I'm looking at them as a great leadership team, and I think the qualities that they've got. Caroline's a real strong community campaigner. Again, came over to Brentwood, came here a few weeks ago to talk to people. She understands the air issues in South Essex. She knows that, I mean, she trebled her majority in her seat in Don Valley, and she's a strong community campaigner, and we need that at the top of the party. We don't need these Westminster bubble elite that are going to, like I say, go back to business as usual. We need people that are going to make the changes and invest in local politics. So, yeah, I've sort of in my head, I've got them together as the team that I'd like to see. So we've got two elections, and they're both being done under the sort of proportional vote. You get up to four votes. You don't have to use them all, and then whoever comes last in each vote, unless someone gets 50% of the vote in the first round, which is possible. Yeah. Then whoever comes last drops out, and their second preference will be distributed among those that are left. So,
you've mentioned the bubble at Westminster twice now. Who do you mean?
Oh, I mean all the three. I mean, this is the thing. All three main political parties were guilty, and still are at the moment, of existing in a world that other people can't relate to. You know, the things that are important to people in their lives around, the, you know, working and being able to afford, you know, to feed your family, and the price of petrol, and getting to, you know, travelling to work in the morning. A lot of the MPs obviously have got places up in London. They're just out of touch, Mike, with what's going on. All parties, and I can see how that is easy for that to happen, because you have got MPs work very hard. I'm not going to insult MPs. I know MPs that work, you know, or from, you know, they're up at 5 in the morning, they're in work, they're in Parliament or at meetings, and they're working through to midnight, and then they're going back to their constituencies and working all weekend. There are very hard working MPs.
I couldn't agree with you more. There are
but they get isolated from the real world.
Yeah, and there are some MPs out there who do very, very little as well.
Yeah.
Naming no names, but there are those people out there.
Sure.
Let's go back to the rest of the candidates for the leadership. Liz Kendall and Yvette Cooper. What are your thoughts on those two?
Well, I think Liz Kendall set a stall out as being, you know, fit to sort of going back to New Labour, if you like, and being quite a sort of I wouldn't say extreme right wing, but a right candidate. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's not going to get my support for. I think it's just perpetuating what New Labour were doing and what the Tories are doing. And, you know, the Tory light argument is that we've got to be a real alternative to what's happening. People didn't vote for us because they didn't see us as that much different. They just saw us as a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit less of a, you know.
It was banded about money, though. People didn't feel they could trust you with the economy.
No.
And, was that a fair comment, do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't think it was fair. I mean, the thing, you know, we through the late, you know, 97 through to 2008 were quite, you know, times were quite good, and we were investing a lot of money in schools and hospitals. There was an argument to say, should we have been borrowing as much as we borrowed while the times were good? Shouldn't we have been, you know, putting more away, if you like? But there was a global financial crisis, and we bailed out banks for billions of pounds. Otherwise, we all would have lost our savings. So we did the right thing, and it was on our watch. So
I agree with you. I do think you did the right thing. I do think also, yeah, you certainly invested. I remember very, very early on in Blair's leadership that you were building hospitals and schools, etc. And I don't see that seem to be happening at the moment. And I don't know... I always felt you were overcommitted. When I say that's not the right word, really. There's too much discussion. There's too many sort of committees in the Labour Party.
Yeah.
You discuss things to death almost before they're
done. Absolutely, we'll have a meeting about a meeting.
Exactly.
That does happen, and that is a problem.
Yeah.
And the talking about meetings, that does put people off. And when you we've got, as you say, a really high, you know, new members joining the party, do not want to go to a meeting where they're going to be talking about, for the first hour and a half, the financial, you know, you've got £500 in the bank, and they want to know every penny that's been spent before you can get on to debating policy and what you're going to do in the local community. So that's got to change. That's got to change. It's got to be a party of action, not a party of sitting around talking about it.
Okay, let's talk about Yvette Cooper. What are your thoughts on her?
Yeah, I mean, if Yvette won, I wouldn't... Well, whoever wins is going to win the most democratic election the Labour Party's ever had. It's one member, one vote, or, as someone said, not quite, because actually so you don't have to be a member, do you, to vote? You can sign up as a supporter and still have a vote in the party.
Well, that's something else that's come out this morning as well, isn't it? Because seems to be a huge influx of people who've been signed up who are purely in to come to vote for Jeremy Corbyn, other people saying, well, they're going to be blocked. I don't quite know
how
that works.
There's a lot of young people signing up, and a lot of them are supporting Jeremy Corbyn, and that's perfectly legitimate. No problem at all. There's a few, I think, was it Tim Lawton signed up, Tory MP, and got, you know,
said,
thanks for the donation, but no, you can't sign up. So he paid his £3, got kicked out. But if you're voting for the leadership of the Labour Party, you should be a member of the Labour Party or a member of an affiliated trade union. I do not agree with this supporters thing, because people have got to sign a pledge, if you like, to say they support the values of the party, but it's a piece of paper, isn't it? And, you know, you've got to be wary. I don't think the numbers will make that much of a difference as to if there are a few unscrupulous ones getting through. But I don't agree with it on principle. I think you should be a member of the party or affiliated union, and then you join. We want people to join, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. There was another thing that came up in the news only yesterday, isn't it? The Tories now have said that you can't have your wages deducted to pay your union membership, something which has been going for years and years and years. Now, is it really such a big deal? Because most people would use direct debits anymore. Nobody writes checks out anymore. Is it a big deal, or is it just a little point scoring thing?
Well, it is, but it's a big deal as far as, you know, it's like opting in or out of organ donation, isn't it? You know, I'm all for opting out. You know, we're naturally, you're going to donate your organs less you opt out rather than having to opt in, because you get the result. You have to sign up, don't you, to carry an organ donor card. So, but, you know, I would be all for, you know, the premise being that you're in unless you have a card to say you're opting out, because we need organ donation. The same thing, really. It makes it more difficult for unions to get the funds for the parties. It's all about stopping the Labour Party getting money, isn't it? Even, you know, they're trying to...
Yeah.
We've done our bit. We've made sure that members do have to say that they want to opt in to donate into the Labour Party rather than just being taken out. You know, union members have got to do that. So why make it harder? Why make 40% of a union membership have to vote for strike action before you take it, when you can win a Police and Crime Commissioner election with 18% of the vote?
It's
hypocritical.
I agree with you, and I do agree that you're absolutely right. You can win
first past the post.
But I can see why people get annoyed when only 40% of a membership of a union then take industrial action. I can see both sides of the argument. Let's move away now. Let's not move away yet. I want to talk about very quickly the other candidates in the deputy leader.
Yeah.
Some probably unknown to a lot of people. Caroline Flint, you've mentioned, and,
yeah.
and Tom Watson, Stella Creasy, Angela Eagle.
Brilliant. And Ben Bradshaw. Brilliant lineup of candidates. You know, real. Whoever wins that election, there will be a really strong deputy leader for the Labour Party. So it's difficult. Choosing Caroline is a mix of sort of everything, of politics and the way she talks. You know, I've met her quite a few times. The way she talks to people, the way she understands her background, that she's been more than willing to talk about being from a single parent family and being a single mum or two when she was in her 20s, and coming from the background that she's had, no way would she have thought she was going to be an MP. And you know, she's had to fight hard and got to uni and work through it. So someone who actually, you know, has had a life before. I cannot bear the thought of friends of MPs and special advisers all being parachuted into safe seats ever again in our party. It shouldn't happen. People should have a local connection, whether living or working for a decent amount of time in an area. You know, I'm a South Essex boy. I don't want to stand anywhere apart, you know, except in that area of the country.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's difficult. If I want to stand in Brentwood and I'm going to take pickles on every general election,
yeah,
I'm sure I could, you know,
yeah,
throw my hat in the ring. But I'd like to, you know, think that I might stand again in Basildon or other parts of South Essex. But I know South Essex. You know, I went to school in Romford and went to college in Colchester, and I know.
Yeah, you know you're an Essex man, straight through. Let's talk about, in fact, that brings us on nicely. A quick break, and we'll come back and talk about local stuff in just a moment.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
I think that horrible was my chair, actually, as I was spinning around the studio. It is 1:45. Well, let's get back to the world of the wonderful world of local politics, because we both love it. In Brentwood, it's been interesting over the last 20 months, really. Tories lost power, came in with this coalition, and Tories back in power. Now, Louise has said that there's been a wastage of £20,000 for some properties in Hutton, and Karen Chilvers from the Liberal Party now saying, well, that was one officer who did not act on council accusations. And basically, Barry Aspinall warned me about this. He said, I'm sure, but if we drop out again and Tories come back, they will blame us for wasting money.
Mm. No doubt.
What's your thoughts on this?
Well, firstly, they do like to blame other people for their own sort of messes. And I think, you know, it's obvious, you know, the hypocrite warning alarm goes off, doesn't it, with the Brentwood Tories. They have wasted so much money during their time in power, it's untrue. They've, you know, threw £140,000 of taxpayers' money at the Hutton Community Centre, which is nowhere near enough to get all the work done that's needed. And there'll probably be more money being chucked at that next year because it's the leader's pet project. So, generally speaking, I just think they are a party of short-termism. They just do. They'll sell, you know, they'll sell the old house, they'll sell the town hall, they'll sell things just to make a quick buck so that they can freeze the council tax and keep collecting the bins once a week, which just seems to be the two policies that they're only ever bothered about. There's no entrepreneurial spirit, there's no investing, so, you know, that's a real loss of income for the town, you know.
To turn myself off. Sounds also like to me, I mean, you came out to stand the PBC, but your wife is still in Brentwood South.
Mm-hmm.
You're still very heavily involved. I think you really want to be involved. May you come back one day as a Brentwood councillor, or...
Maybe. I've got not... probably not next year, because, as you say, Julie's up in Brentwood South next year, and I want to support her. She gave me... you know, 2 years of following me about on the campaign trail in South Basildon and East Sarratt, and it was we both really worked hard, and I'm working 3 days a week, she's working full time, so I'm finally doing my fair share of the housework as well, Mike. I didn't do anything for 2 years, and I know I didn't, because I'm learning how to use a washing machine and things like that.
I want to ask you a very personal question. You don't have to answer this. That night, the morning of May the 8th, I mean, we were both up all night. I've dropped out. That morning of May the 8th, I was up all night working on the election, and I just wonder, when you both went to bed on very, very early hours of the morning, were you... Just a was there a huge weight off your shoulders, or was there a real disappointment, almost tearful, or what?
It didn't feel, not immediately, there wasn't a sort of tearful or disappointed feeling. I think it was that exit poll at 10 o'clock on the night.
Which none of us believed.
No, which we're going, I thought it was a stocking filler for a few hours till the votes started coming in. If the Tories had a majority?
That's how we treated it in the media.
That was a real shock. And it was, after a couple of hours of counting, it was clear to see that we weren't going to do it. So you had sort of through the night, my daughters were there as well, to come to terms with not winning. And the next day we had the local count at Basildon was 10 o'clock the next morning, so we went to, well, we didn't go to bed, we went home, had an hour's kip on the sofa, because we didn't leave till 5 or 6 in the morning, and then straight back to Basildon for the count in Basildon, then over to Brentwood for the count lunchtime, and then there was another count the next day somewhere. So it didn't end. So right. I had the rest of the month off, and we did have a little break in May, went over to Ireland, and then went back to work at the beginning of June. But I've dived into supporting Andy Burnham and Caroline in their campaign. So it's different, because you can go home, I can finish work, and if I'm, watch the telly and feel guilt, I should be doing something, shouldn't I? Well, surely there's a meeting to go to, but okay. it was it's weird. It's a bit of a roller coaster, because you've had 2 years where you haven't had any time to yourself at all, and then all of a sudden you have got some time. It's a bit difficult, but it's okay.
It gives you more time to go and watch one of your other passion, which is Tottenham Hotspur. We're running out of time. Let's talk about Spurs.
Yes, but Warmer Shirt especially.
He's Warmer Shirt Spurs. Both Mike and I are both Spurs fans, although I have to admit, after nearly 50 years, I'm starting to lose interest. Starting to lose interest in the Premier League a little bit.
Right.
And I'm the stadium announcer at Dagenham Redbridge. I love it there. You see football in the, what I call, as you see at East Thurrock, raw football.
Which is great.
Crystal Palace came the other night, and with their £9 million player came down, and Dagenham Redbridge beat them. 47 scouts there as well. And I fear our goalkeeper and our striker may go very, very soon, because they really had a good game. Please have a bad game when you've got a scout watching. But with Spurs, they've only bought in, they spent £15 million, and we've sold £23 million.
Yeah, we need a striker or two, don't we, to join old Harry up front. That's the problem. I think we're going to do well, but I always do at the start of the season. But we do need some more sort of firepower. I've just signed up for the Premier Fantasy Football League. Time to let dad. I'll just join the Fantasy Football League at work. So I've got a right, because 2 years, honestly, I've been going to, like you say, local football, East Thurrock and Basildon Ladies as well, the last two seasons. We were a great team. So I did lose touch a little bit with the Premier League. I was watching, Match of the Day if I was got the chance. But I'm getting back into it now, because I've got to think about my transfers. I've got Rooney and Kane up front. Are they going to deliver tomorrow, opening game of the season?
Yeah, and was that a good idea to play this? Was it the Oldie Cup we just came third in?
Yeah. Who knows? It's a good time to play Man U first game, because sometimes they have a bit of a dodgy start.
That's your thing. They may have a dodgy start.
I mean, locally, East Thurrock last season, the season before, when they just avoided relegation in the last half of the last game, they were 2-0 down, I think, going down, and they won 4-2. That was brilliant. That was fabulous.
It was, and that's just, you really, really do get behind the team, don't you?
And Basildon Ladies just been promoted, and they're playing Tottenham and West Ham and Charlton. Cardiff are in their league, so that's fabulous. And East Thurrock are playing next Tuesday night here at the Brentwood Centre, playing Brentwood Town.
You mentioned fantasy football. I do a fantasy golf thing where you vote on the you pick an American, two Europeans, and rest of the world for the four majors. And I mean, I play off nine. I've been playing golf all my nightlife. I follow it intently. I watch every golf tournament, going, where am I in the field of 130? 126. Rubbish. Oh, all my players never make the cut. No. Well, I had McIlroy for the last one. He withdrew. Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. And that cost me 20 points. So no. I am rubbish.
That's spot for you, isn't it? What about cricket yesterday? Fabulous, wasn't it? 60. All out for 60.
Unbelievable. And I'll bring up the latest cricket news very, very soon. Right. Let's talk about your last choice of music. You've chosen Cilla Black. Bit of a shock. And did you watch the? Did you watch? I watched it again. Actually, the Cilla program.
I saw it when it was first out, but I missed the last one, so I haven't seen it. And it was on this week, wasn't it? No, I didn't get to see it. But I was really. It was a shock because I remember when I was, you know, I was born in the '60s and grew up in the '70s. Cilla on Saturday night was the thing, wasn't it? It was fabulous. And I thought she had a fabulous voice, Alfie, and the song you're going to play.
Yeah,
just remind me of those sort of those times, really.
Anyone Who Had a Heart was the third record I actually remember buying. Actually went down and you listened in a booth, but we're showing our age. Yeah, in fact, we're at that age now where a lot of our, you know, the people we admire, the comedians and the musicians, and out that time they die off. But she was far too young, 72 years old. So
yeah.
Anyway, Mike, very thanks sad. Very much as always for coming in. You know, you're always welcome.
Thanks, Mike.
Coming in.
Enjoyed
and,
it.
Yeah, yeah. We always had a good chat and. You can hear all that we've had to waffle about again on the website from this afternoon. Thank you very much. I love above all about you is your passion for what you're talking about. And
thanks, mate.
Let's hope we have a successful Labour leadership election.
Yes.
And there's no.
No.
That's the right word. Let's just have a
animosity. We'll get behind whoever wins is going to win it democratically in a big way. So we've got to get behind whoever wins.
Okay, Mike Lesurf, thank you very much indeed.